anybody with a photo, you know, lens on their camera or a telescope or anything like that has a way better chance on spying on you through your windows than me flying around a Phantom 3 that's louder than crap spying on you, you know? So I kind of let her have it. And she was like, oh, well, you know, thanks for the info. I feel a little better now. But I was like... Welcome, everyone. Thanks for listening. We're back here in the studio for another Flight Test After Hours podcast. I was almost ready to give up. I don't know what it is here lately. We've been trying some different things, and we're always having technical difficulties. We've been trying all week to do a podcast, and really nobody's fault but my own. My work schedule has just been horrendous lately, and we're trying to set stuff up, and it's just not working, and I get stuck at work. And so finally, we're here again Saturday morning in the Million Dollar Flight Test Studio. And unfortunately, I couldn't get everybody in. We were kind of busy. So Andre's joining us today after his big 40th birthday bash. Oh my gosh. What's it feel like?
I'm not 30-something. Oh, I'm not 30-something anymore. It's kind of scary. does that mean I have to grow up?
No. You know what? It's almost it's like the older I get, the more of a kid I'm turning into. I don't know. Maybe it's me. It just, try to enjoy myself. I don't know if I kind of realize life's getting shorter, so I'm trying to, you know, enjoy myself more. I don't know what it is. But the funny story with me is, you know, everybody's usually always on, oh, you're turning 40 and blah, 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 and downhill from here, you know, on and on. I was like, I can't wait to turn 40. That means I can ride the plus 40 class in motocross, man, and smoke these old guys, you know?
Nice. So, yeah, actually,
I was excited, you know?
We were chuckling because my parents emailed me a photo when I turned 30, and I have to say I worked a lot harder to get to this stage in my life at 40. Now I'm in better shape and everything, so I'm happy.
Oh, good. We'll talk about your birthday here in a little bit. First thing, though, I want to quickly apologize to everyone. We were going to do a live Periscope. Actually, we actually did do a live Periscope. We were going to take some questions in that, and we're definitely going to do that again. We kind of got everything working, but last time we used an iPad. This time I tried a Samsung tablet. For whatever reason, I haven't used that with Periscope yet. It kept wanting to go upside down. I don't know why. I'm mostly now converted over to Apple everything, but I do have that one tablet, which is a great tablet, don't get me wrong, but for some reason the Periscope app on that, we couldn't get it to flip upside down. I was a little disappointed in that, so I apologize. I didn't think we would. I was worried about the audio issues, and then we ended up having video issues, so what am I going to do? So I apologize. We'll get the kinks worked out. Believe it or not, I've actually had a lot of requests to do the live Periscope when we record the podcast. So we're going to do that. Probably be a little bit more exciting, too, when everybody's in studio instead of just me sitting here staring at a computer screen. But, whatever. Quick little story, Andre. It's kind of funny. I popped in here early this morning, was getting set up, and they had, I don't know, three or four of those little Air Hog Millennium Falcons lined up on the table, you know. So I was like, wow, those things do look pretty cool. I was checking it all out, so I fired one up and was cranking around the shop. I have to admit, it was pretty cool, man.
Yeah.
Have you seen those?
I had a few people drop them into my book profile, and I'm like, yeah, that would be neat. Yeah, I would get my hand on those, but... We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, I think they're a little pricey, though. If I remember, they were, could be wrong, $60, $70, though, I think.
That is still a lot of money for something. Is it an internal battery, too?
Yeah, it's typical Air Hogs. It has a small LiPo internal battery with, you just plug it from the charger into the Millennium Falcon, and then it charges internally. But I will say, looking at it, you know, it is all foam and everything, but the detail and everything is pretty cool. And I flew it around, and I didn't think it was going to fly that good, but, you know, with the lights on it and everything, and it flew pretty good. I was like, oh man, that's the last thing I need. But now I think the ultimate were if you could get the smallest FPV setup on that thing and fly that FPV around in the house, that would be cool.
That would be fun, yes.
So, but yeah, I figured I'd throw that out there. If anybody's kind of on the fence with them, that was pretty
good this Christmas. Yeah. I think they'll do really good this Christmas with that particular line.
Yeah. And they had the other one here. I forget the name of it. The X-Wing Fighter, right?
Yep.
Yeah. And I seen a short, maybe it was a Periscope video that Flight Test did that seen it out flying, but I think personally, I mean, the looks of the X-Wing too is phenomenal, but I heard it didn't fly really that well. So I think the Millennium Falcon might be the way to go. Cause you know, you could fly that in the house too during the winter and with the lights and everything. So I think that's the way to go.
Yeah. Some little quick mods. So you can switch out the batteries so you don't have to sit there and charge it, you know?
Right. So we'll talk a little bit about you this week. Obviously, nice. We just talked about your 40th birthday, and you got some serious stuff coming in the mail. We talked about the P-40, which you now have in your hands. The
What a work of art.
Is it good?
The detail and the paint, we know why the delays were there and everything and the quality issues and everything, but wow. The first batch, there was reports off the RC group. They were having issues where people were having, I think it was the flap servos were jittery. So a lot of them had, in the first batch, had, you know, kits them to replace the flaps. Mine seemed fine because mine was the second batch from the internationals. But wow, I pulled it out and I shot some preliminary photos and everything, so I have a review on it, and now I've got to do the decals now. So it sat in a box for after I got it because I wasn't allowed to play with it because, well, it is a birthday gift after all. So finally hands on it, and I've been looking over it and really impressed with what they've done with it.
Oh, so that's why I didn't put two and two together. I know you got it and you were, you know, taking some photos and checking out, and then I didn't hear anything. I didn't realize that you had to save it for the birthday, because I was like, I cannot believe he's not out cranking that thing around already. And I even asked you about it. You're like, probably here in a little, you know, another week or so. And I was like, oh, well, okay, you know. But so you're impressed with it, huh?
I think it's a really nice plane. Now, I am for what it cost me and everything, I got to get some land time in on. It's been a while since I've put a plane down with landing gear, you know, a tricycle gear dragger. So I think later on, probably tomorrow, I'm probably going to take out the Sukhoi, the T-28, or even the FW-190, and just practice my touch and go thing, because, you know, we get spoiled with the belly landers, right? I mean, you don't have to worry about it. I don't want to hash this thing up, but before I take it out, I want to do the decals and get it all nice things. So
Now, did you find some? I know you wanted to kind of change it a little bit. I don't know if you've checked in there.
I'm not going to buy. A lot of guys are using, I think it's called Cali Graphics.
Yes.
Just phenomenal. Like the parrot head one and a couple other ones. Just phenomenal. Canadian markings, because the Canadians flew this through the P-40 back in the 40s, I think. The markings are kind of a blend between some of the Americans and obviously the British, because they had the Rondelles at the time because we didn't have our Canadian flag yet. So I'm going to be able to, I think I'm going to do a mix, and I think it's like, you know, all the British L's are close enough to the look, and then the tail, the pictures was very close to one of the Americans' red, white, and blue style and everything. So I'm going to do that. And like the inversions, they ran, instead of a red spinner, they ran the tan color, the same as the belly, and a black canopy, the engine cover. So the battery bay cover would be black. So I'm going to try and match the decals as much as I can. And from there, other details are pretty easy to do later on. So, and I'm going to have to go through, and there's a whole process doing the decal application and everything. So,
hey,
but it's neat.
A kind of curious. Some of my warbirds there for a while when I was really into them, I started to do get into the weathering and stuff. And looking at that nice finish, plain finish on that P40, the first thing actually that came to mind was like, man, you put some weathering on that thing and it would really make it so stand out. Yeah. So has that ever come across your mind to try any of that?
I think in the future, I would do it. I think for now, when it's a brand new plane, I'm like, no, I'm going to run it. But I was actually looking at putting on a coating, what is it called? Minwax. And a lot of the guys use it to cover over the foamies, and it keeps the paint nice and clean. Mm-hmm. It's like a polycrylic. Mm-hmm. So I'm tempted to put the matte coat over top of the hulls and everything once I'm done, just to protect it.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
We'll see.
Also, too, when I was doing the weathering, most hobby shops here carry it, and it's foam safe. They make that matte clear coat, just in a small can. That worked fancy. Just a light coat on it, and sometimes that made all the difference in the world too.
Yeah, just to protect it from any, and just to keep it nice and looking. And of course, this no longer comes out, and then I get a quick little inbox mail from Stuart, and he's like, wait till you see what we've got next and like a day later now it's the Spitfire Mark One
seen that
of the 75th anniversary for the Britain, and my jaw just went, stop. These things are getting expensive. And I'm like, well, I know what I'm getting for Christmas now, or what I want on my Christmas list,
Right.
Spitfire Mark One, and it looks phenomenal. They've really done a nice job. So the detail is definitely coming up. The product is coming up. There have been a couple hiccups in line, and we'll see. I'll put the torture through the landing gear thing and, the retracts and everything. It seems really nice, and I checked all the boards out and ran through my checks, and so it seems like a solid plane. So now it's just up to me as a pilot to fly the thing nicely. So
yeah.
No pressure.
Yeah, that Spitfire looks good. The only thing I have against the Spitfires, and it is especially when they got the landing gear on, is they're pretty narrow, and a lot of times you got to have a nice – landing to get them down, good.
Yeah, cleanly without doing any and with the price of things going up and unfortunately the dollar going way, we'll see what happens, because I've also been playing away with the rotors, the Pawnee is on order. We know it'll take a little while for that to show up, but that's still on my hit list, so.
Yeah, what are they talking now? November?
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't understand that, because when they came out earlier, when we first talked, it was sooner. But I still think that's going to be a decent fall winter kind of craft, because I still got to get the Sky Mule back into order and everything too. So at least I've got a few weeks to enjoy the P40, and then eventually that's just going to get parked. So
yeah. Hey, I forgot to ask you, when you ordered the Pawnee, did you just get the plug and play, or did you get the receiver with the AS3X?
It's the bind and fly. Yeah.
So oh,
it's
got the so you did get the AS3X. Sweet.
Why would I do anything else at this point, right?
Yeah.
It's what, $3 more, and I get a receiver that's all set up.
Yeah.
It doesn't have the safe, but it's got the AS3X, which
right.
is fine.
I think wintertime and the gusty winds and out there, I think that, it really does help out. Just takes that little bit of edge off. I've noticed, like when we're out there with the beavers, and compared to like if I have the little sport cub out with the AS3, you can tell the difference. So, that's so cool. I can't wait to see that plane.
I'm looking forward to it with the lights, and we're already, it's already getting here. I don't want to talk about that, actually. I'm not ready for winter, but it's all going to get dark in the evenings and that. So, and I haven't made it out to the field. Last weekend, last Saturday, I went out, and the place was just jam packed. They were running soccer trials in the adjacent field, so it was really close. And what did I my dad's flight test Mustang, and I flew that around, and that was nice. And then out myself, and I flew my Sukhoi, mm-hmm. and I noticed I was flying, and I wasn't satisfied. Really crowded. There were a lot of kids are in the adjacent field, so you know we didn't have our buffer zone, and we were being contained, and the parking lot was full, and there were a lot of planes up, and I could the whole time I'm hitting my jaw while I'm flying, and I'm like, you know what? I'm bringing in the Sukhoi, I'm landing, and chat it for the next little while, and didn't bother flying, because it was humble. It was just too packed. So
yeah,
I'm like,
right.
Oh, man. I think we're going to be in trouble where we are, so I'm like, okay. I have to look for a field eventually, but it was like, yep, I got my flying in and everything, and then I went home and flew some multi-rotors in the backyard.
mm-hmm. Yeah, we got to talk about that, too, so... Write that down.
No, I've got the two, and we can have some fun with those discussions.
Well, I'm thinking about it too. It's kind of sad in a way, and I haven't actually got a lot of flying in this summer, but I did get a big, massive set of floats for the Carbon Z Cub. So, yes, and I couldn't believe actually how big they actually are. So, I'm excited to try to get that thing on floats. Get that thing out and get some air-to-air from the Phantom with it.
Nice. Are you going to use the floats on it during the winter or stick
no,
with the tires?
No, I don't know. It's a personal thing, I guess. Now, Wayne runs the floats on the Beaver in the winter, and it really does – it works fantastically. Actually, sometimes it works better than the skis, but there's just something about the floats in the snow, and I'm like, it just doesn't quite – look
yeah,
right.
So
I have them big metal skis for the Carbon Z Cub, so I'll probably just end up putting them back on, and I like the looks and everything in a winter flying at in the snow. But I'm kind of excited about the floats. Get them things on there and try to get some air-to-air with it. But just remind me, I walked down in the basement that my Beaver still has the skis on it from the wintertime. And at this point, I was looking at it going, you know what? I might as well just leave them on. We're getting pretty close now. I haven't flown it for a while. And it's funny because I actually do fly that thing more in the wintertime than I do in the summertime. I'm just going to leave them on, and we're just going to go right into winter with it, I think. So.
Well, I did that last year. I got all excited because we got a little bit of snow. So I converted over the Sky Mule. And then we lost all our snow, so I'm like, oh, wheels back on. We flew a little bit more, and then we got the snow, and so I left them on after that. So, And then I don't even bother with the Fun Cup because it doesn't need it. You just, you know, if it gets any kind of resist, it just helps the takeoff, you know, the vertical takeoff even better.
Right, right.
But that would be skis, but I think the skis would detract from the Fun Cup's performance. There we are. We're talking to her. Oh, gosh.
I know. I'll talk a little bit more later. I was out flying the Phantom last Sunday, and I got out right at daybreak and flew a couple batteries. And I'm telling you what, I didn't really realize it till I was done. My hands were already cold, and I'm like, we're only in September, early morning, and my hand, you know, I had the jacket on and the pants, and
it was 8 degrees Celsius this morning. I'm like, nope. Too cold, too soon. We're. It's just that time of year, and until we do our little daylight savings adjustment, it's just we're going to push back. So I'm like a little disappointed about the Pawnee being a little bit behind because it's like, but at least the Fun Cup does have lights built into it. I should put more into it, actually, and then if I get out and I've got an evening, I can still at least fly into the evening a little longer.
Yeah. So the other thing you've been working on, you actually got two quads. You're kind of – setting up, working out the kinks, probably going to do some reviews on it. And Mark finally sent you an HMB 235, and you got that together. And then you also have the Wakira 250 Racer, I believe?
Yeah, the Runner 250. So, yeah, first up, it's the that was a fun review to do on the HMB 235 from MLC. Mark sent me the frame and and some props, some DAL bullnose 5-inch props, and I transferred everything. Actually, I bought some 1806 motor, and I transferred everything off my old 250, and the challenge was literally to use all the equipment I had and fire it up, because we weren't sure if we could get a full KK board in there, right? Because I'm stubborn. Everybody tells me to go get a knee. No. These KK boards are fine. They do the job. Now, The problem with the KK board is it's a user interfaced board, right? So it's not like plugging it. You can't plug it in a laptop. So I'm like, how do I set this thing up if I've got to go in and tweak it? Well, I happen to have case one that was in the winter quad, and that's got the external feed. So I put that on, and it is sitting almost on the front of the quad, and we were like, oh, is it? It's millimeters further forward than the recommended location, but the thighs, and just having a hoop blasting. These things are tanks. Uh-huh. I beamed that thing off the top of the, if anybody's watched the video, I beamed that thing off the top of the bird feeder, which is a full metal, you know, crown. Doing, you know, off it went. It kept going. I never broke a prop and anything. I lost an antenna, one of my diversity antennas, my little receiver. I lost a nut. That was the end of the day carnage. You know, otherwise I was hitting the trees, the fence, the hedges, the pool, the deck, a chair, you know, my wife's game in the middle of the yard. Oh. You know, anything, everything I could dodge, I was trying. I hit them because I'm just a horrible pilot.
It made me laugh too. If anybody, go check out Andre's Instagram, that little video you posted of ricocheting off everything. I mean, it's like you said, you're off the trees and, you know, it was just, and that thing was, and it was still going when finally it came down, but and not a scratch on it. That really made me laugh pretty hard.
Oh, And I told Mark, I said, I haven't laughed this hard in a long time. So, and it's surprisingly efficient. It ran for a while. I'm flying it on 2200s, 3S 2200s, and almost a full size Zippy Compact. So the battery sits in there all protected. And that was my you know, I want to contain this because a lot of guys, if they run the other boards, they'll run a smaller battery and like a 4S. This thing is fast enough and powerful enough with the setup that I have now. I couldn't fathom by a 4S because I think it would go through everything instead of just stopping at the tree.
Yeah, the 4S I flew at Flight Fest that Mark had, whew, man, that thing, it had a lot of power. I mean, it was fun, don't get me wrong, but I could see, you know, in a small backyard, and I'm going to run mine on 3-cell also, so I'm happy to hear that it was plenty powerful enough on 3-cell.
Oh, yeah, it would go. And Mark, I don't want to find out you drained your pool with your quad. I bounced off one of the plastic posts. I'm like, oops, let's not do that. I don't need to damage the... but the camera, I had the Mobius on top, on the top cage, and my FPV gear is in there, and I came back with a couple recommendations, and that's why Mark had sent it to me, and there's a full article, on flight, and just talking about a couple of little tiny things that would really help out, and he was really happy, and so I'm ecstatic, and honestly, he's looking for a frame for exactly that. You know, something there. I want to throw James on eventually when he's feeling that he's ready to try, multi-rotor, because I can, you know, it can hit stuff and it'll be okay. But right. we'll get out to a big open field rather than the dirt. It was interesting for me though. Was I went from a 50 down to a 235. And you wouldn't think that would be such a big deal, but all of a sudden, the size constraints are really interesting. Now, I think if you were building this thing scratch and not using pre-existing equipment, I don't think you would be so... you wouldn't have the issues I ran into. I'm like, so my wires are everywhere. And the DYS motors, the six motors are nice, but man, those leads are long. And everybody's like, you should trim it. And I'm like, I want to, because if I need to test another frame, I can just grab all the gear off it, right? Mm-hmm. Rather than buying and continuously buying stuff. But I say I love this frame. I mean, I don't race, care about needing something light and everything. This is exactly what I was looking for in a machine. I think I can take a bit of punishment and still come out. And I mean, I'd get up for a flight and I'd be shooting like bits of pine tree out of all the gaps and expanses, and you'd come over and take the can of compressed air and pull out because it was full of dirt and dust. And it just keeps going, you know. Right. And it is a tank, and it is exactly what I think a lot of us want to see in a Prado. Something I know can slam into a wall and you go, oh, that was cool. Let's do that again.
Yeah, so, yeah.
They've definitely come up with a formula. And they just came up with the little 180, which is looks...
Yeah,
you know,
I agree.
Little tiny quad, so... And then I want to talk about the Wakira.
Yeah, because so, looking at the pictures, I mean, it looks like a lot of carbon. It looks fantastic in the pictures.
It is. Nice piece of kit. This is part of what I did the C10. Austin asked me if I wanted to start doing reviews. So this is basically the front out of the box. So I'm going to finish off the review on this, but I get some aerial footage of it and everything. So basically this kit, it's not a racer off the top of it. I would never tell anybody to go racing with this, because anybody's going to go racing with a quad with an integrated circuit board is crazy. Because you snap that thing in half, your power system is gone and everything, right? And, you know, and they're coming out with a new, but this one, you know, it's got a proprietary proprietary receiver. All the ESCs are proprietary with these fancy little connectors. And they're not even interswappable between counter and counterclockwise rotation. So you have two of each. Uh-huh. And same thing orders. So really, if anything ever happened to this quad and it was a complete write-off, the only thing would actually, unless you were, you know, buying another whole unit, the only thing you could salvage from this thing technically motors.
Oh, wow.
Everything else is proprietary and designed, you know, with their own little fittings and everything. So mm-hmm. like the receiver and the receiver and the flight control system, multi-Wii, have ribbon cables.
Oh, I got you.
Yeah, so I went out for one flight, and I popped it up, and I bounced, and the flight controller detached in flight.
Oh, jeez.
I didn't have the top down or nothing like this, and I guess I didn't push the foam pad the with the sticky tape down enough, and it came off, and the thing came crashing to the ground, because obviously it's brain ejected. I'm like, what was it? I'm like, oh, look at that. The flight controller's like halfway across the yard. So I came back, I taped the ribbon cable connector down, and I zip-tied the controller in place and then put the top deck on. Now, I wouldn't race with this thing, but if you're looking for an out-of-the-box experience, you know, uh-huh. like where you don't have to do any soldering, put it together, and you go flying, this isn't half bad, actually. It flies, it's docile, uh-huh. it's borderline smushy, I think. You know, instead of swooshy... But I could fly this thing around the yard, very relaxed. It isn't crazy. It's got voltage sensing, so the back lights flash when your voltage is starting to get low. Uh-huh. And while very much like our little protos, you can't climb up any higher. Once it starts getting down to a certain point where the battery low is at 3.8 on the cells, close to that, it wouldn't let me hover any higher than like a foot off the deck.
Huh.
Which is really easy to see on a, you know, on a board. And I did no tweaking. I literally didn't even set any trim or any expo or nothing in my remote. I just plugged it in and went. Does come with a Devo receiver, and that's their own, you know, and we, Austin and I tried to get a remote from these guys, and they didn't respond to us in time. So I said, you know what? It's got hacks and the plugs for a regular receiver, so... Pardon me, I put in a six channel and went to work, and so I'm just running a little orange RX 615 kind of stuff receiver, and just plugged it in and went to work with it, and so the setting changes and just kind of fly it around. So I'm actually going to take this out to the field. I'm out with my dad, and I'm going to put him on it, and you know, and so I was showing him last night and showing him how I fly everything. I said, you know, we'll get out to a big open field so we don't have to worry about any constraints, and go try it. Mm-hmm. But I suspect if you crash this thing hard enough, it's a write-off, because everything is integrated, and they're coming out with version 2, so I don't know how much longer you're going to be version 1 parts. You know, so I ordered a spare set of props, and then you read up saying you can switch props out and everything, but then you need to get counter splits, obviously, for the other side. So so we'll see. Flies, bang for buck, it's not too bad. So if anybody was looking for their first quad and they didn't want to solder and all this stuff and they weren't going to be racing, you know, in the relatively easy environment, you know, not something like you're going to run the HMB through or anything like that, it still worked. So it's kind of like I don't know, if you were to give it a B grade, I'd say you know, it does the job. Yeah. And of course, with any of the reviews I do now, you know, does it do the job? Yes. Would I buy it? Actually, no. And would I race this thing? No. And if I crash dry, probably not. But you know, like evolution wise, you can't go beyond. It's not like you can hop up the ESCs and stuff like this. There's no forward planning. And the other gripe I had with it is the spin-up speed. You know, spin-up speed is crazy. If you don't jack up the trims on throttle, you run the risk of the motors not spinning up together coolly. And you know, you look on YouTube and you see a bunch of people. They start it up. You know, the arming is down to the left, which is opposite to what I'm used to.
Yeah, that's usually
throttle up and you'll get half the motors running, so she'll just flip over.
Geez.
So I've got my trim on my throttle jacked all the way up. So the moment you arm and bring up the throttle, the thing is basically ready to lift off the deck already. Now the problem with that is there's like I want to adjust my remote a bit more because there's a dead zone. So you're sitting there hovering, and you see you pop it up a little too high, and you bring the stick. I've had it a couple times now where the motors have shut off in flight because I've dropped my throttle stick there.
Oh,
and and the motor stopped spinning. And so you're full of air, and so you jack the throttle, and you're like, oh. So it needs a little bit of refine. You can't adjust that. Huh. There's no way to adjust that. The only way you adjust that is in the remote.
Right, yeah.
So I'm like, oh, man. It's there. So I may be in for two when they come out with the next one. It'll be a little better. But still, like I said, you know, if you're looking for something that requires zero soldering and just, you know, I called it a plug and play, and people laughed at us. You know, this no, you shouldn't have to put screws into a plug and play design. So it didn't take too long to build it up and get it going. So, right. You know, it's
And with today's market, you know, we've talked about 100 times. There's so many different, you know, quad designs and, you know, ready to flies to plug and play, whatever. So, you know, what do you do? You know, what's the price point? On it,
Gino. I can tell you right now, actually, because I'm on. Everybody's got this thing runner today. And this is from Tommy King. Where is it? No, I don't motors.
Oh, so Hobby King. Oh, that's right. They are a walk here. They sell all that stuff. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Speaking of Hobby King, while you're looking that up, I think they announced a new 3D. Is it a 3D plane?
Yeah, the Brevera or whatever. Yeah. We had seen that one a while ago. They teed that up earlier there. And that didn't look too bad. There we go. This one's about 100. The one I've got, which is just the bind and fly kit, 148.
Oh, that's not that bad then, really.
Nope. No, I think, and the nice thing is, I just switched the remote out and I went to work. And there are other, this market is so wide open. There's so many options. So, but yes, that 3D plane came out, and I'm just going to go to new items so I can have a look at that one. Someone told me, it was Scott from Australia, was telling me it's based another style plane with, it's like the biplane without the secondary wing.
Okay.
Looks fun. I'm I'm still tinkering with the Fat Hawk plane as well. I keep hitting objects in the backyard. The foam doesn't like. So I need to take that thing out the field so I can get it all trimmed out and just have anything in the way. I keep running into deck chairs and stuff.
Oh, man. Hey, the other thing I seen came across, which it was kind of unusual. I wasn't expecting this. Horizon Hobby came out with a new Hobby Zone Concendo.
Yes.
Did you see that? It's a ready-to-fly glider.
Short span.
Yeah, 59-inch wingspan, I believe. 370 brushless motor. 1,300 two-cell LiPo. Now, I haven't watched the video or anything. I was just reading about it a little bit. Earn your glider wings with the Hobby Zone Concendo, I guess that's how you say that. But it's the Concendo S, so I believe we'll read a little more. It has a safe system. Built lightweight, durable Z-foam, 1.5-meter wing. makes hitting max altitude easy. And this is supposed to be for the beginner. Here's a weird thing, though. It's a four-channel control with the SAFE technology. I'm really kind of shocked that it's not just a three-channel like the Radian. But it does have the AS3X with a panic recovery mode. Whenever you fly,
It's got, I'm in the photos, it's got ailerons.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. For a beginner, I was kind of a little bit shocked that they built, you know, I would think they would have done something more on the Radian type, you know, with the polydihedral wings, make it a three channel. Now, I don't know if the only problem possibly I could see if you got into some really unusual attitudes with this, maybe with the ailerons and the SAFE technology, it makes it easier to recover. That's the only thing I could really think of. You know what I'm saying? Where if you're kind of lower to the ground with just the rudder and the three channel and it tries to recover, may not do it as quick.
Especially with a smaller wing profile.
Yeah, so that's my guess. But other than that, I guess that's pretty cool, you know, if getting in the glider. But I don't
know. Pop it up to a 3S.
Well, that, and it's the Radian, really, it's so easy.
Yeah, why would you buy this if you?
I don't know. I kind of have some mixed emotions on it.
Same price point as a radio.
Yeah, only I think because it's a ready to fly, you know, so you're getting everything. But that's due out, they're saying, the end of November. But other than that, it's actually the last couple weeks, you know, since we did our last podcast, it's been really quiet, not only on like the product side, but anything in news or in the, it's just been really quiet. So that's the only things I know of new that, kind of hit the market.
I talked to, I'm reviewing the Momia C2, so that's a really nice camera, so that's going to be more coming out, and I did order that little FPV transmitter.
Ooh, which transmitter?
For the Mobius, FPV
the
dock.
The dock, yeah.
It was interesting, everybody complains about the leg and everything, and actually Hobby King went on, they did little things, like, oh, try down the 720, and so I just ordered it because I want to see what it will do in some of these applications. It'd be great to slap a camera, and even if I'm not using it for FPV, at least I can see the transmission. So we'll try that out. And I was coursing with the Dutch RC guy, and he got the 52, which was that big. He got the military version. I was just asking him some questions because he did the unboxing and everything, and it looked really nice because that one I was really wondering when they had the free shipping event. And he says it lands really nicely. To me, it looks a lot like it's a 1200 millimeter T28 almost, but this thing is 4x4S and everything, so it's got a little bit of a goof to go to it. And that's tricycle landing gear stuff. But he says it comes in really nicely. One of the better warbirds he's met. So that one was on my radar, but I don't need any more big airplanes in my yard. Yeah. Taking up room in the house and everything in the basement. So
right. That, and when you go to the flying field, you know, you can only take maybe two, one, maybe
yes.
two. That's
yes.
the bad thing. And that's what I found out with the large warbirds. I get out there and I, you know, burn through, and you know, with, again, you got the bigger batteries, and usually you only have maybe two or three. So you get out to the field, burn through the two or three batteries, and then you're kind of hosed, you know?
Yeah.
So,
this 1100 millimeter really awesome.
Yeah. The Mobius docking station, what milliwatt is the,
200.
It is a 200.
200, okay. But it's a 32 channel dip switch and all this. And it's, you know, it powers the camera and the dock and everything. So, just to have it on hand, you know, it's one of those, I think it's going to be handy. I can't see anybody racing with it. And depending on how bad the leg is, it might be a sway. And I'll just make sure I've already set the Mobius up so the card rolls over, does max recording, and doesn't turn off.
You know, that might be something too. I'm interested in that. And when you get it and do the testing, I think it'd be fun too that, for a quad or something, to put that on to give people rides. You know, you fly through your board camera and do your normal thing, and then you have that set up, you know, for somebody to put on your extra pair of goggles or whatever, and, you know, you give people rides. I love giving people rides through the goggles because it's just funny to see their reaction.
When I was flying the HMB through the yard, Jay bugging me, can I get can you give me the fat sharks? And you fly off the monitor. I'm like, no way, man. I'm concentrating here. I'm trying to actually do successful laps here. And he was like, no, give me the goggles. We were fighting over the goggles. It was hilarious.
Oh,
you know?
That's funny.
He's doing color commentary. Oh, tree. Oh, look, hit another tree. I'm like, yeah, in the video. It's like, you know, you do a lap or you just make one. What was I doing? Oh, I had the crop angled down or up a little bit more than I'm used to.
Uh-huh.
And so I was just judging my altitude. So I kept, I'd come into it and I would be just a little too low to the deck and roll it over, right? Cause I touched the ground. So now I've gone and straightened the camera out and everything, but I foresee myself needing another set of golf, something like that, or changing the monitor. So those goggles are available. My Quantum version 1 goggles are available as goggles versus a display, putting another display into my FPV ground station. So we'll see, or maybe an excuse to upgrade to a better set of goggles down the road, but I'm still able to use my Teleporter 3 and function just fine. So,
you know, I wonder when somebody, and I bet they're working on it now. I thought of this the other day, you know, with everybody, especially like with the racer quads, you know, where everybody's tilting the camera way back, you know, because you're in such a, you know, forward flight, you know, the quads angled it, you know, so much, you know, whatever, 30 degrees, 20 degrees or whatever. I'm guessing here soon somebody's going to have like a two axis small gimbal of some sort, you know, that's going to fit these small board cameras to where that camera, no matter when you're going with that quad, it's going to completely stay centered, you know, as a quad tips up the camera. And then what I think would be cool, especially for the racers, is kind of in the turns have it the opposite way to where when you hit that, you know, your turn and that camera, you know, that quad kind of banks into the turn, that the camera, instead of trying to stay straight, will actually turn into the turn, so you can look through the turn as you're, you know, going through it. And then when the quad straightens up, it just kind of swings back around to the center. That would be pretty cool.
I think, yeah, then that's all, you know, accelerometer. It's all on already, right? So it's just making the gizmo small enough. But, you know, they already do that with like headlight cars and stuff like that, right? So, you know, all the higher ones. So
that would be sweet.
I Martin was doing that a little something so he could adjust the angle on his camera as he's going. Uh-huh. And I guess it's, for me, I can't say I've ever had the thing going fast enough in a straight line to burn it. You know, I just found the flat point of view is a lot better for me for some reason, but I don't flying at those angles of attack.
Hey, real quick, too, I wanted to ask you, your buddy David, who we met at Flight Fest, he bought, a Phantom 2?
Phantom 2 version 2. He picked up that one used. He was asking me, and he was like, really seriously considering a Phantom 3, and my first question was, why? I have a practical reason, or he says, I just want something. I want, you know, I want a good start platforming. And then he found a Phantom 2, used with a, you know, a GoPro Black Edition and all the FPV in the modern ground station for a really good price. And so, yeah, last night he sent me a video of him in our backyard. And what? I wouldn't hover in a backyard, but that's just me.
I wonder why.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, oh, man. So I said, that's awesome. You know, and I know, and this thing was in mint condition. So he met with the seller and they went on specs, and the guy, you know, took care of it. He says, the thing has never landed on its skids. It always hand catches it.
No, I'm like,
really? That's crazy. No thanks. For really, you know, I was surprised how loud the thing is.
Yes.
Actually.
Yeah. Go ahead. I thought Pubba, but finishing. I got a funny story.
Yeah. I was really like, he backyard and it was nighttime and the lights are flashing. He's doing all his pans and everything. So it looks like a really piece of kit. I'm not sure how update, like, you know, is there a cutoff point as far as software when they'll say, okay, you know, V2 or, you know, is there a difference, or do you use the greatest software and everybody else waits, and or does DJI provide software throughout the brand so they can just, you know, so keep people safe?
my guess is, you know, I haven't really looked into it, but looking at on their website when they do have an update, you go in there and you actually just click on whatever quadcopter you have and then go in there and do the update for each one. But they have, it seems to me, I could be wrong on this, but it seems when they do have some kind of major update when you go in there, they've been updating everything. So whether
that's
it be
good.
Firmware.
That's,
yeah. So they seem to be on top of it.
Yeah, see, because I think if I were that route, I would do very similar to what Dave did, and that's just that I've got the cameras and everything, and the it just makes sense to me because, we've the prices and everything and what it would cost, and I don't know, maybe next year if I decide that that's something I want to go, because, I mean, I do want to do aerial photography, but I've got that APM thing that's, you know, mocking us, so I'm going to... that'll be my focus into the fall once some of the more of these reviews are done.
Uh-huh.
Get that thing all sorted out because there's no reason for it not to cooperate. So I'll go back to square one and everything. We'll see if I can get close to your quality. We know the gimbal, my gimbal won't be on par and everything, but at least I'll have a challenge on my hands. But we'll see next year if I ever foresee a demand or a reason for it because I'm you know, constantly expanding what I do and everything, and even on the professional end of it, it could be an option. So
it's very addicting. That thing, the more I fly, the more I like it, and the you know.
Well, here's my question to you then. You know, you put a considerable amount of money into
this
initial step. Do you feel obligated to almost fly it daily now?
No, not really. Here's a funny story is now I'm finding myself and again I'm learning I've basically learned hanging around flight tests like Chad Capper and Dave Knopp and especially like Eric Monroe and stuff just been around being around these guys before I knew these guys I probably didn't have any kind of I don't know what you want to call it, artistic type photography video talent in nothing but you know, over the years hanging out with these guys, seeing what they see or showing me like, hey, look at this shot, you know, where I was like, I would have never thought of that. I find myself, whether I'm driving down the road, looking at fields or I'm like, I'm getting up early and going out, you know, I'm finding myself looking for places to film and times to film just because I guess it's just a new avenue for me. So do I fly it every day? No, because you can really only fly around your house so much. And for me, you know, I've done that quite a few times already. It's like, it is what it is. And, well, you know, matter of fact, most of my flights around my house, I don't even record. Now, if it might be a cool sky or something, I might pop up and go look around. But now it's just all about just getting the thing out and flying at different locations and different settings. And, you know, I did post a few things on Instagram, and then I think I might have sent you the video, the last one I did where it was early Sunday morning where, we had the red sky was just unbelievable. And I think I shot probably 28 minutes of video, I think, and did a small edit down to like 3 minutes. And I hate to bombard Instagram. You know, there were some really cool shots. I've been on the fence, and I might still do it. You know, if you guys like this, you know, I'll go ahead and, you know, throw some
post
more stuff
away.
Out.
Post away, Chris.
I just feel like, oh, it's another one of these, or you know, but I might do a short 15-second clip I'll pull out of that video, and I'll throw it up on Instagram because I thought it was pretty cool. So, you know, it's right now, I guess that's my thing and what I've been doing and into. So I really enjoy it so far.
Yeah. And that I know I'm going to get the APM back up and running. I think flying these two quads recently really put a little bounce back in my step because I was pretty bummed out about the field issues and just, you know, those days go up and like last weekend. And I'm like, at least I know in the back of my mind, I can go and I can burn a battery or two in the backyard and fly the quads and everything. So I think that's why you're weighing the DJI so much at this point because you're not even going to the field, right? You can just go anywhere you want to almost now.
Right.
You know, you find an opening. And so, you know, and so once I get all the bugs out of this, fits in the back of the car and I can go anywhere and I'm not stuck going to my local flying field and you know, I can get out and just find a farmer's field and just cruise around and get some nice shots.
Exactly.
And find that horizon shot because those things were just gorgeous video on camera.
Yeah, thanks. I mean, but you know, honestly, my thing is though too is basically I'm just kind of doing this to learn more about, you know, flying it and what it's doing and its capabilities. But honestly, my goal is to, you know, we do have a few more guys now out the field we've been flying with. Is I really want to get my favorite thing is the air to air stuff. Like some of them shots when we were down at Chad's house, you know, flying around and the shots of Mike's quad and Chad's Phantom and stuff, you know, where you're 200 feet in the air and you got this close-up shot of a quad, you know, crank around with the sky. That's the stuff I really like. So now that we got more guys out the field, and maybe even tomorrow we may try some stuff, is to get out there and get some more air-to-air, you know, shots with the Phantom. To me, I just love the video, you know, if you're 2 feet away following an airplane from the side or from the top, you know, angled down a little bit and watching it just cruise along. That's the stuff I really like.
Yeah. That could be a lot of fun and just creative and yeah.
Yeah, it's challenging. It's the
air. Oh, it is. It is.
I learned real quick when I first bought the Blade and we went right out, you know, trying to do some stuff with Wayne, that it was very challenging to get that shot. But
you're doing a whole lot of coordinating, a whole lot of talking.
Yes, it's not just, you know, you fly the plane around and, you know, I follow him around. It doesn't work that way. You're right. It's a lot of coordination, a lot of, you know, you might shoot an hour of video and maybe get 3 minutes total, you know, of stuff you can really use. Which is fine. It's fun. And again, it's something that's challenging for me at this point, you know, and for my flying. So, you know, we'll see what happens. And go from there. But I will say, with the Phantom out of, you know, even compared to the Blade, it's so much easier with the Phantom 3 and then, you know, some of their new features. Like they got a new feature just came out called Course Lock, which, you know, you set that quad on that course lock, you know, whatever you set, that heading, and you can literally, that quad will fly that heading and will never deviate. And then you can pan the camera around, you can turn the quad 360 degrees, whatever you're filming, but yet it stays on that, you know, that course lock, which is really cool. I think that it's going to work good too for some, you know, if you're tracking an airplane, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you can say, I'm going to fly along this line. You beside me and we'll do a little wingtip to wingtip.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you're basically, you don't have to worry as much with just flying the quad. Now, you know, it's on that heading lock and you can just, you know, worry about the shot and where you're pointing the camera. So I'm excited. We'll have to see what happens here.
Yeah. Yeah. You're pushing the envelope for us.
Well, it's an expensive envelope, though. I'm not going to lie.
I was sitting there, and I was working on my tablet, and it was doing stuff. I'm like, I'm going to have to get a higher end. Nope. And then I ended up having to get a hard drive for my main laptop because I'm going to compress some of the Mobius footage, and I ran out of space. I'm like, one thing after another, and it's just generic footage, and it's like, I just want to get some stuff going so I can get some extra video out, and keeps us busy, keeps us out of trouble.
Yeah, I agree. Couple last things I wanted to talk about. We're rolling in towards an hour here. I probably won't keep you too much longer, and I got some stuff going on. Couple things. I do have a pretty good list of crash stories, so hopefully I think it's more fun when we have everybody in studio to share the crash stories and you know, get some opinions and everybody kind of laughs at them. So probably next podcast we'll shoot out some more crash stories. But one thing I wanted to talk about, I'd like to get a little more traction going with this. And Andre, really, you are the person that kind of started this all and got it going. And I haven't been on it too much, but I'm going to try to make an effort to check it out more often. But on the flight test forums, you kind of started, I think it's called All Things Podcasty, if I'm correct.
Yes, yeah. That was Fred naming that one for us.
Is that who? I should have known. I got on there, you know, reading a little bit. So I think it's a fantastic idea. So if anybody out there, you know, you cruise around the forums, please, if you have any, we do have some questions we'll go over here in a little bit, but any topics, I love to get topics. You know, I don't care really what it is, if it's RC related and flying or whatever, throw some topics out there if you, you know, would like to discuss it. And then I think too, with the Periscope, you know, we might be able to take, you know, the live questions at, as we're discussing the topic and get it a little bit more interactive. So I'll keep some better tabs on that. Or Andre, you know, if you see some stuff and I haven't responded, feel free. You're really doing a good job with that. So, but we do have a few questions I seen in there from the other day, and I thought maybe we just kind of run through those a little bit. First one here. I'm trying to read. I don't have my glasses. Spastic Kitten from Claremont, Florida. And if you're listening, I love Claremont, Florida. My family lives outside in Orlando there. But Claremont is one of the top destinations for the motocross racers where they live, train, and ride. So, and it's a beautiful area. So his question is, what's your opinion on the 180s, the Ultra Micro Spitfire P40, and how do you think Hobby King has progressed? Now, I think the 180s, I think he's talking about the 180 size quads, I'm guessing. Yeah. My opinion is the smaller, the better. You know, we've talked a million times about the FPV Nano QX. That thing is absolutely phenomenal. Flying it, you know, in close around the house, in the house, especially in the wintertime. Big downfall, though, probably, I think it's getting better, is the, you know, your limited battery. But like you said, Andre, even going from a 250 down to like a 230, you know, you notice the big difference of flying in and out of things. So I think once these 180s, there seems to be more and more of them coming out and they get dialed, it's just going to be more fun for everybody.
I'm actually, Bill Martin printed me off a 3D printed frame, and I've got those Steno 6 motors. I'm going to use my KK Micro with a little receiver S-bus cable, so it's getting ultra light. And I'm going to use 4-inch props, bullnose props, and a 2S power. So it's going to be light. Now, it's not small as your Nano, but I, in theory, should be able to run. I don't need prop guards, so I've got to be really careful. Otherwise, I'm going to get trouble marking up the wall. Yeah. But I'm going to rip the camera, the Mini Vapor, and, you know, run that through a 1S and
Sweet. I like it.
And the little KK board, the Mini, won't care what it's on, and it can be set. So it's going to be a fairly small, compact package, you know, because those motors on 5S with a 3S battery, sorry, 5-inch process with 3S battery, they were flying my basic 250 chassis. And not, you know, they got warm because it's a lot of weight. So I ordered, like, some cheap $5 ESCs, you know, off one of the, so once that arrives, it's all going to get put together and everything. And it's going to be really small, or as small as I can make. We may even try and print a smaller frame for it, you know. But yeah, that it's really exciting to see the technology get smaller and smaller. And like you said, we keep hoping that industry-wise, they're going to come up with a breakthrough for the battery technology, so we're not limited to a three-minute flight.
Yeah, I agree. It's getting better and better, so I'm hoping this winter somebody's got to come out with something even better. I'm hoping.
Because the Nano, regardless, something in that class, unless this thing turns out really good and we can do some prop cards and everything, and then I can, because I got a lot of 2S batteries. I want something for the winter, because we know February last year we were all kind of going out of our minds because it was just way too cold to fly. So,
right.
Yeah. So smaller the better.
Yep.
To a point, you know, if you can sell FPV gear on it, even more exciting.
Yeah, I agree. His other one was, what do you think about the UMX Spitfire or the P40? Now, we're probably going to disagree on this. I have flown several of the P40s. For some reason, I don't know why, I don't like it. I know the P40 has the AS3X on it. I've tried tinkering around with it. One of the guys that flies at the field has one. I just don't care for how it flies. I've flown the new P51, I think was phenomenal. We have a couple here at Flight test here, and I have the old P51. The difference between the old one and the new one, you know, with the it's kind of redesigned as it is, it's night and day. The Spitfire, actually, I haven't flown, so I really can't comment on that one. But I will say the Ultra Micro series, they get a little bit better and a little bit better all the time. Every new one they come out, it's a learning process. And don't get me wrong, when they first come out with the Ultra Micro series, even though compared to now, the old ones kind of fly bad, to be able to fly something with that much detail and that small kind of in your front yard was just amazing at that time.
Yeah.
So, you know.
And I got used to my P40 and it's all there. Yeah. It once in a while, it will just randomly do something weird to me. And we know early on, I fought with that pretty fiercely with the AS3 actually odd things to me. You know, I'm in the middle of a loop and it does stuff. Uh-huh. And every time I fly it, I get progressively more. I get more aggressive with it too. And I've gone now. I've taken the landing gear and I moved the battery around. But it's just always there to go. I think yeah, you're right. The Mustang being the latest and greatest would probably fly. I would love that micro P47 on the 2S goes.
Yes, that thing looks amazing.
Fact that it's not brushless anymore. Yeah.
Or brushed.
Yes. Yeah. That's. I think that's where this is all going to go, and I think this is where you're going to see the longevity, and that's your key to a lot of this technology changing. If they figured out how to get C's down to size, my concern there is for a quad, they're going to run an issue with it. I don't think they're going to be able to get the control board and the ESCs down to size just yet, but we know they're probably on the cusp. It's coming.
Yeah, I agree. They're getting there slowly. And I agree with you. You know, once they get these things down to the, you know, where you're running a two-cell LiPo and the brushless motors, yeah, for sure. Now, the only downfall I do have with the Ultra Micro series is they're still using the EPS foam, which again, yes, is for lightweight and everything. But when you do crash one of these Ultra Micros, it's generally in a lot of pieces. I had the Ultra Micro Striker that I flew the daylights out of that thing and actually really loved it. And it's an old, you know, an old version that didn't have the AS3X back then, but I had a blast with that thing and I've crashed it numerous times and generally you end up having to buy a whole new airframe and just taking the guts out and switching it over.
Yeah, I know my micro Tiger Moth is just, it's hanging on a wall and once in a while I gotta switch the prop out of it and put some glue on it. It looks horrible, but you know, that plane got me back to flying. Yeah. And that one didn't have any AS3X. I know in the wind it was a riot because it was just bouncing all over the place. You just have rudder elevator, and it's going. And then of course, you know, we're all fans of the Whippet and the UMX radio. No, yeah, and this stuff is just going to get better and better, which is great to see because after I bought the 40, I was like, this is sort of my last UMX because it just doesn't make sense, you know?
Right.
But, what was that last one?
And the last one was, how do you think Hobby King has progressed? I mean, what... I'll be honest. A lot of people don't like Hobby King. There's still a few things that they do I really kind of don't agree with. But all the, you know, RC industry, they kind of do it. But I think Hobby King for a lot of people has kept them in the RC. Well, there's a few things I think they've done. One, you know, back in the day before they had now granted flight test, you know, obviously when they got started, they were sponsored by Hobby King. So we've seen a lot of stuff come through there that didn't fly good, and it was just total junk, and it just went into a pile in Chad's basement. But they did still have some things that come out that were, you know, for the price point, you know, you couldn't beat them. You know, whether you want to go pay $200 for this Warbird here, or you go to Hobby King, spend $120 for a Warbird, it flies almost as well. Did they have downfalls? Absolutely. You know, back in the day, their customer service was horrible. But, you know, if you wanted to upgrade ESCs and motors and stuff, you couldn't beat them, you know, back in the day.
Yeah.
The second thing I like about Hobby King, I think, is they've made everybody, I think, step up their game a little bit. You know, they're starting to put, you know, with their new group of people, you know, Stuart's probably at the top of the list there, that's putting a lot of time, effort, and work into some of these new, you know, the Durafly series.
Yes.
Especially where the quality's better, the electronics are way better, the fit and finish is better, the flying characteristics are way better. Now, granted, I will agree the price increase has gone up, you know, probably substantially. But what they're doing, they're making these other big hobby manufacturers step up their game. You know, now a lot of them are adding the navigation lights. They're adding the flaps. They're adding the retracts a whole package. And they've basically kind of dropped their prices a little bit just to, I think, to try to compete.
Yeah.
So if anything, I think they're making the industry stronger, in my personal opinion. Now, a lot of you may not agree with it. I still kind of disagree with some of the stuff that, you know, they I don't know what you want to say, steal the molds or whatever, you know, where they rebrand it. Well, this company makes this. Now Hobby King has it for half the price and it's the same thing. But
yeah,
it's like that with everything.
They got me into the hobby when I started scratch building and everything, especially, you know, dealing with the costs locally were crazy, you know. A $2 servo from Hobby King was $10 here. Wow. So that just didn't make sense,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And especially when I started off, I mean, I started off slowly, so I was building some motors and especially batteries. Things have changed now because the Canadian dollar isn't as strong, and that's where I, you know, like the P ship and everything is the same price as me going and buying the E-Flight P for it. So it's a flip of a coin. Once I pay the tax and everything, they're the same call, you know. So, you know, once I equip my Durafly P40 with a receiver, an FR Sky receiver, throw in a couple of spares, I'm at the same as buying an E-Flight plane. So right. It's like, ooh.
Yeah, yeah.
But before that, before going faster, before everything went crazy, there was like at least $100, $150 difference between Durafly airplane and buying a local airplane, right? Mm-hmm. So that's big, you know, and a lot of people can't go that way. So, you know, even if I want to, so. Yeah.
I think it's a great choice. You know, if you want to spend the money or buy, you know, something different from the big, large manufacturer, that's fine. Whatever, you know, makes you happy or what you want to do. But, you know, for the fact that Hobby King, for a lot of people that love, you know, the hobby, that don't have a lot of money or really can't afford the pricey stuff, you know, Hobby King's got a lot of stuff that, you know, they can get into, you know, and make it affordable for them.
Yeah. Radios and stuff like this.
Radios.
And so it's one of those things, and we've done it, and I've seen it in my experience where I started off very small, very simple. The next radio, a $50 radio, uh-huh, versus going and buying $200-$300, because I couldn't do it, you know? Right. And exactly that. And then it's one of those things as I am through my hobby, and then it's, you know, you're passionate about certain airplanes. Well, I can't get that from one, so you go to the other manufacturer, but. You know, it's I think they're important to the, very important to the hobby.
Yeah.
And, I agree. They've done some good stuff. And we've had issues with all the manufacturers. Even I've had horrible customer service experience with them. Mm-hmm. And then I've had also really positive customer service experience. So, yeah, it's, you know, they're important. They're, you know, it's whether people enjoy that. I still think, yeah, they've got a place. And, yes, they have stepped up their game very clearly on this one.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, when they released the P40, Stuart flat out said the worst kept PR, you know, experience, you know, secret in the world. And after that, they kept their mouth shut until they were ready to say something about the product and ready to, you know, so it's.
Right, right.
And hey, you know, we're all still learning. It's funny. You'd think we would have this stuff down. You think that the manufacturer would have it. And, you know, everybody makes little hiccups here and there and changes. I hate it. And you think you've got it, you've hit a home run, and all of a sudden you find out you've got a little issue. You can't go wrong communicating. As far as I'm concerned, in any of these industries, you can't go wrong communicating with the public. And you're always going to have people who are going to have their opinions. And maybe that's the problem with the internet too. And I saw that when I started researching some of the, what was I going to buy next? And it's like, oh, this airplane has this problem. And that's probably someone's remote single experience. So you go with your passion, I assume. And you know, these airplanes, and you know, no matter how pretty the entry, you know, you're going to fly this thing into the ground.
Yeah. And I'm the same way. I used to do a lot of research because, you know, spending that hard earned money, you're like, man, okay, I can only buy 2 Warbirds a year.
Yeah.
And you're doing, but like you said, you get on the forums and one guy's got it. He loves it. Everything's great, but the retracts suck. But he didn't tell you that he had a hard landing. He's landing in gravel and he ripped them out. You know what I mean? So you really got to kind of take everything with a grain of salt. All right. Hey, I got another question here from I lost it. Where did it go? This is from Adam V out in Las Vegas. He said, I'd like to hear about which goggles you guys use for FPV and perhaps why. What would you get today with current product lines? Were you doing if you were doing it again? I've recently ordered the Attitude V3s as my first pair of goggles, and I'd be curious to see what you guys use. Go ahead, Andre. I'll let you start.
I think he's going to be really happy with the V3s. I mean, the Attitude are a really nice product. When I started off, once again, it was Andre on a budget. Yep. So I bought the Teleporter V3 set that came with a transmitter, a camera, and the goggles. A lot of people don't like the Teleporter. It's a lower resolution. I fully get that.
Yep.
But for me, we're fine. I started flying. I hadn't flown FPV in like almost a year. And then once those were up and running again in the backyard, it took maybe a couple flights and I got used to a level of resolution. You know, if I was to do like you, Chris, and buy those lovely head plays, I don't think I could go back to my teleporters.
No way.
Yeah. So I think for now, my teleporters will do the job. Will I get more better goggles? Maybe. But right now, with the way the Canadian dollar is going, I can't see myself working out that kind of money because it's just that's the price of a plane.
Yeah. Right.
Not that I'm not going to buy any ones because my fleet is too big as it is and I'm having parking space issues. But yeah, I think I would follow suit with what you're doing, or I would do something like the Attitude, something with a built-in DVR.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, because I do like getting the downlink and recording it, because when I do the composite videos, now my ground station will repeat as well. But those Attitudes are pretty sweet. I think the Mars is going to get, again, it's like all this stuff. It just gets better and better and better. And on. You need to talk about yours because I looked through those. Actually, I didn't even. So, yeah, I looked through a couple sets when I was at Flight Fest, and I didn't even need to put the goggles on my face to see the resolution, you know. And I'm like, oh, this would be so immersive. I just don't know if I'd be with the size, you know. And it's, you know, like my little teleporters fit into the lease, you know. And, you know, then I just throw that in the bag with me and go.
Right.
Whereas you need a little bit more, your setup is a little bit more, requires a little more state, but it's that much better.
Right. Well, I'll kind of just go through the motions a little bit. I kind of was around when Fat Shark first came out and, you know, a lot of the flight test guys, Josh and Chad, and especially David, you know, so I've seen the different versions and seen what they've been through. Back in the day, I wasn't doing a lot of FPV, and when I did, mostly it was at, you know, flight test after a day of shooting or whatever. But I really couldn't see spending, you know, they were really expensive back then. You're talking $300-$400 for something where it was so new, it was very exciting. And oh my gosh, I have these goggles on, I'm looking all around. But I also seen some of the problems that they had back then, whether it was the fogging or just other little issues, battery, just stuff that for what I thought you were paying at that time wasn't quite worth it. Now, over the years, and it was funny to see a lot of the, you know, you spend $400 on a set of goggles and to watch and see what Chad and David would do to modify them, to make them better, you know, was just crazy to me. So, but nowadays, you know, the prices of, you're getting better quality probably for the same price. What, you know, if you're going with the Fat Shark with the, you know, the Attitudes, or even they have some Dominators here that were really nice. I liked. But I will be honest, one of the set of goggles I was using here, borrowing quite a bit before I got my head plays, was the Sky Zone goggles.
Yeah.
For me personally, I just, for some reason, liked the fit and feel of them a little bit better. And there was a couple things I really liked about the goggles. One was it actually has an external camera so that you can just push one button and see out the front of the goggles, which was fantastic for before you were taking off or whatever. You just have the goggles already on, everything ready to go, take off, and then hit the button and go first-person view. That I loved. The second thing I really liked about the Sky Zone goggles was it had a built-in diversity receiver. So what was nice is, you know, you could run a regular, you know, mushroom antenna or whatever, and then put your long-range antenna on the other side. That I liked, and it worked fantastic for especially like my little FPV Nano QX when I was flying it out in the front yard. You know, I could actually go – I had a long-range antenna from Aerial Video Systems, and I could go all the way down my road with that little Nano quad. Of course, the bad thing was once I got down there and came back, I was almost out of battery. So that was one thing I really liked about the Sky Zone goggles was the diversity. Now, I moved on from that and actually bought a diversity receiver I've been using, so I can use that with my head play. But the thing that really changed things around, I thought, was a big game changer, and I think it's really going to make Fat Shark work here coming down the road on their stuff, was the head play goggles that we checked out, first got to check out at the Toledo show. And you got to put them on, try it out. They had it hooked up to a DJI Inspire sitting there. It blew everybody right out of the water. It was unbelievable. Now, the first thing you see about it is this giant box. And when you look at it, you're like, there's no way I'm strapping that thing on my head. It's too heavy. It looks ridiculous or whatever. But let me tell you, when you put that thing on and get them, it's big, thick foam and strapped. It's got a great strap that goes like around the back of your head, across the top of your head, and it's actually really lightweight. So when you get those goggles on and see that immersion view through that giant screen in there, everything goes away, and it's just an unbelievable experience. So Wayne and I, we ended up purchasing the head play, and I can't be happier with them. Everything has just been unbelievable. The quality, the fit, the finish, everything's been working great. Now, again, the only thing I could see that would, and this could be a version 2 or whatever down the road, is it would be fantastic to have, you know, a diversity receiver built into it. Because right now, if I want diversity, I got to run the wires out of it, hook into my diversity receiver.
External.
Yes.
Yep.
And go that way. But the other thing that is just unbelievable is it does have an HDMI mini output on it. So now with my Phantom 3 with the module built in, I can go full HDI or HD quality, plug it right into the controller of the Phantom 3, into the head play goggles, and man, I am flying full HD. And it really is just a whole different level on anything I've seen anywhere.
Yeah,
I actually did a just for fun. I don't really even know if anybody liked it, but I just did a short clip, and it was kind of tough. I was by myself and I didn't even know if it was going to work out, but last weekend I just hooked the goggles up, stuck my phone kind of in the goggles, and just flew the Phantom around, so just, you know, to give everybody a quick flight live, because everybody's always like, oh, strap your phone to the plane, you know, do this, put it on your quad, we want to fly around, you know, FPV. So I thought, hey, what's a better way? I'll just stick my phone in the goggles, you're getting HD quality, and we'll periscope it and see what happens. So I don't know what everybody thought about it, but we gave it a shot.
Yep.
So that's my kind of my opinion on the goggles. The attitudes, I've used those many times. He said he just purchased for the price. I think personally for the price, if you're buying the Fat Shark, I think that's kind of the way to go for what you're getting in the price point. The Dominators, I you know, for more money of what you're paying now. Again, like you said, Andre, if you get the Dominators, they have the internal DVR recorder. That is a nice feature. But as far as really quality and fit and everything, I didn't see, you know, that much.
Yeah, and I think with the Dominators, you still have to buy the receiver module.
Yes, you do. So, yeah. Yep.
What was really neat right now, I don't know what the stock is like for Horizon, but they were selling off a lot of their, you know, UMX pads with the FPV stuff. So even my buddy David there, he picked up one. He got a real deal on his he bought the Vapor with the goggles. So those are like teleporter. I don't know what they were before. Next ones, but they have like the built-in head tracker and everything. So actually, I got to ship them off a head tracker cable so he can run that into his remote. So then do a couple of his other planes up with a little bit of pan and tilt.
Yeah.
So it's... It's, you know, yeah, it's, I think, and Wayne will tell you too, he wears his glasses. That's why he really likes the head plays, because he can keep his glasses on.
Yeah.
And no issue for him visually. So, you know, and I've had fog up issues with my teleporters too. So, the new ones, Fat Shark came out with a little slawn fitting for housing that snaps onto the goggles, and they have a built in. So they keep the air flowing so you don't get the fog up issue and everything too. So,
So interesting.
It's like all this technology. It's just going to get better and better and better and hopefully cheaper and cheaper and cheaper. So it's, you know, if you fly a lot of FPV and this is what's important to you, buy, you know, my philosophy in life has always been buy the best you can afford at the time.
That's funny. You just read my mind. I was just going to spit that out there where I've learned. And again, sometimes I don't always do it, but I always tell people buy the absolute best you can possibly afford, because down the road, you're going to kind of regret, you know, just like my quick little story, my laptop. I had to buy a new laptop, especially for all this stuff I'm doing with a Phantom. I wish I would have spent the extra probably $500-$600 and went with the Pro, but I didn't, but it still works and everything's good. But, you know, I tell myself all the time, get whatever you can, you know, possibly get, but, you know, the best as possible.
Yeah. It's same way just with, one of those.
Yeah. Same way with the, you know, the goggles or your planes or anything like that.
Radios. I get asked a lot of questions on Instagram about the radios, and I always come back saying, what are your objective? What are, you know, and what's your budget? You know, you know, it's some people are exactly, and I can relate to starting off and being really super limited and like, well, this will work, but here are the pitfalls to that one, you know, and here's the pitfalls to this one, you know, and you know, what do you fly? What kind of airplanes do you fly? What do you foresee yourself flying? So, so it's always this pattern of just establishing the plan, saying, okay, what do you absolutely, you know, need, or what do you think you can get by with, and how long for, especially for someone starting off. And I can relate completely to a lot of people's, you know, penny crunching issues. So
one real quick question here, Andre. We kind of touched on a little bit earlier, but let's see, where did it go? Crash Bandicoot, he had a question that says, are there any planes you guys like to fly, like in the fall or other seasons, better than others? And if we kind of touched on that, yes. We do. I'm sure you're the same way. We do fly different things coming into winter because it does get cold here in Ohio, and I know it gets cold up there in Ottawa, Canada. The best thing I could tell you, we actually use the mitts.
Yep.
Because it's almost impossible to keep your hands warm when it's cold and nasty outside. And we've definitely learned to where if you're flying in the winter or whatever, that you want something that can take off by itself, whether you have skis or if it's on floats or whatever, because trying to hand launch airplanes, especially by yourself, and then get it going and get your hand in the mitt with the radio, does not work out very well. And I can tell you from personal experience. Now, if you're with a buddy that can, you know, hand launch you or whatever, it will work. And Wayne and I have done that. But the problem is he usually wants to fly when I'm flying. So, you know, if you have something that can go off of skis or floats or something that can take off, even if you got a parking lot that where they clear the snow, you know, something you can land and take off, and he works the best for us. Yeah. So I think you'll agree with that.
Yeah, well, we saw what I did to the EFX racer here. So even though I was fine taking off and doing a launch and everything, when it came to landing, my hands were so frozen that I lost the finesse, and that's when I nosed it in that very expensive, nice motor. So, yeah, Ally, the Fun Cub, the Sky Mule, because that's on skis. Yep. I tried last year to fly the T28, but with the altered motor and prop, the prop is too round, and I kept hitting snow with it, and it just didn't go. And on the milder days, I'll do things like the FT Racer. But after last year, I gave myself a case of frostbite on my fingertips and said, nope, never doing that again. Yep. So I've got the heater, which we're going to sew into my second mitt. Everything so and that's where the E-Flight Pawnee, the Brave Knight Flyer, that we think is going to be a really good winter plane.
Right,
we'll let you know in November.
Right, well, that's probably it for the questions. Again, I like doing that segment, so you know, again, if you have any topics or questions for us, you know, go check out the All Things Podcasty there on the forums. I like to, you know, interact with everybody and see what's going on. So keep that up. And again, we'll get back into the crash stories here. One quick little story. I just think it's kind of funny. It just kind of shows the world and people that aren't in the know or really understand it is I've been talking about, you know, I've been doing these little videos and stuff with the Phantom 3 and putting them together and everything. Well, a few of them I've been shooting down to the family down in Florida. And one of them was, you know, had some nice water shots, and I happened to come around by a golf course, you know, and all scenic and blah, blah, blah. But anyway, so my mom, she texts me back, and she says, wow, that's great video. I can't believe, you know, you're getting those kind of shots, but I'd be worried about you spying on me. And I'm like,
what?
Yeah, this is my mother, you know. And, of course, it's the drone thing, and all they see is in the news, so I kind of got a little irritated, you know, and kind of let her have it. And I'm like, Mom, what? First of all, I said, this thing, and David was saying about the Phantom, those things, and you think that Phantom 2 or that Vision 2, whatever, is noisy, you ought to hear the Phantom 3 flying on 4 cells. This thing is loud. Matter of fact, I've had that thing up over my head to where I could barely, you know, even see it, or it kind of gets almost out of sight, and you can still hear it plain as day. So yeah. I guarantee that you're definitely not going to go sneak up on anybody, you know. So no. I was trying to explain it to her. I said, well, Mom, you see the golf course over there? If somebody was out there, and, you know, this was like at 6:30, 6:45 in the morning, nobody was out there anyway. I said, if a golfer was out there, would you be able to tell even if it was a male or female out on that golf course? And she's like, well, no, not really. I said, too, they probably wouldn't even really be able to see the quadcopter and know what was going on. And one, I wouldn't even know, really pay any attention, even looking through the goggles, like, you know, unless I was down close, if there was a golfer out there. I said, too, you know, like we've talked about before, of all things, you know, I'm sending off these great, you know, videos to you. And the only thing you're saying, well, I wouldn't want that over spying on me, you know.
We'll put in a tree. We'll put Mike up in his tree stand, and he'll be quieter.
Yeah, put Mike up in the tree stand with his big gun scope full of camo. I guarantee you he could spy on you better than I could with my Phantom 3. There's no doubt about it. I just thought that was kind of funny.
That was funny, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. The mentality.
That's the education that people, it? You know, not even education, just, you know, everybody just relying, saying, oh, my goodness. And no, you don't think about that because no one knows what they sound like. So. But that's what stunned me when I watched David's video. I'm like, wow, that thing is loud.
Yeah, they are very loud. You know, and everybody in my neighborhood knows me and knows what I do, so they're all accustomed. But, you know, Jeffrey, my good friend that runs Fedora Coffee Works, You know, he's three houses down. So, you know, I was over there cranking around his house a little bit, and he's just out there and goes, yeah, it must be Chris out there. He's, you know, filming. Yeah. So, yeah, it's a good time.
Spying on my next brew.
Yeah. That's why I was kind of joking around, you know, telling him, like, you know, making the coffee, I can smell it. I'm going to fly down there and see what you're brewing down there.
Yeah, just to have a little hook and pick up a bag.
Yeah. Hey, that might be an option. Call him up. Jeff, I need a pound of coffee. Okay, I'll roast it up. Be down in 30 minutes. Fly the copter down, hook it up. Ooh, I might have to try that.
Oh, dear.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was my quick, funny little story. But, okay, we've been, man, every time I come in here, I'm nervous. I'm like, I don't know, there ain't much to talk about. Here we are an hour and a half later, which is good for you guys. I'm glad that we're able to do this and, you know, get you guys some content out. And hopefully you enjoy it. Hoping things at work will slow down a little bit. Our fall season of baseball is almost done. There's a lot of things I kind of would like to do. I'd like to get some more guests in here, but it's just really tough. The big one I want to bring back in Andre, I had it on the tip of my tongue. Anyway, the one gentleman we had on from Horizon Hobby, Matt Andren.
Yes.
Love Matt. He's a great guest. I've already mentioned him maybe coming back on. He'd love to come back on, do the podcast, maybe talk about some of their newer products. So as soon as we can work things out and I know for sure I can get in the studio and we can plan it out, I'd like to have Matt back on.
Like a plan. Yeah. Keep sending. A few other people. Maybe we want to talk to Mark again about the lady and his experience.
Yep.
And our good friends from the Air Bearers doing really well. So yeah, there's tons of people we could talk. Maybe we should even get Fred on again.
Yeah, I've been I'm with chats here and there with Fred. I keep telling him anytime. You know, he kind of harasses me a little bit that I don't have him on enough. But he's anytime more than welcome to come on, just hang out and chat with us. So Fred, if you're listening, maybe even next podcast we'll get you on and see what you're up to down there in sunny Florida.
Because actually he's doing a lot of stuff for flight test too, so
that is true.
Maybe
is
he should true. Get discuss that a bit. So and there we go.
That's the thing. Fred's probably more in the know than I am, since I don't really even get to see the guys too much anymore. It's kind of funny. A lot of times I get questions too about flight tests and what's this and what's that, and I'm like, heck, I don't even know. You guys sometimes know more than I do. So I don't know. I guess that's why we're the after hours. So, but other than that, thanks for listening. We really appreciate it. We'll try to keep this thing going as best as possible. We'll work out the kinks with Periscope, hopefully, and have some fun with that. Thank you for our Instagram followers. Man, that thing keeps climbing and kind of makes me nervous because then I feel like, oh, man, I got to put some stuff out there for you guys. So I hope you're enjoying that. So keep that going. Keep the Twitter going at FT After Hours. And again, any questions, problems, comments, suggestions, whatever, hit up the forums at the Everything Podcasty, or you can send me an email at chris@flighttest.com. Or, Andre, if you'd like, I know you recently got a flight test email. I don't know. Do you feel one to give that out? You're more
It's pretty simple. It's Andre@flighttest.com. Yes, we sent one up so I could do it with some of the reviews and everything. But if you've got any questions, by all means, and also people can find me on Instagram or on the forums.
There you go.
Yeah. So, we're all well connected and having fun, folks.
Yes, absolutely. So, again, thank you for listening. We're going to get out of here. Enjoy the rest of our Saturday. Thank you, Andre, for getting up this morning, coming in, hanging out with me. It was fun.
Uh-huh.
And we'll talk to everybody here in a couple weeks.
All right. Everybody have a fantastic weekend.
All right. See you guys.
Bye.